Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Wednesday, October 29th, 2025. 12 minutes past the hour here. Glad to be back with you on WGH Talk. And we thank the 68th governor of the great state of Ohio, Governor Ted Strickland, for being on the program here. You know, no matter how you feel about what the governor said, Democrat, Republican, opinions, whatever they may be, it's always great to have a former governor on the program. I've had the opportunity to interview five Ohio governors, and no matter what their party was or what their feeling was, it always is important to have somebody on who's had the top job here in Ohio politically and can speak to what the powers of that job are. So I hope you liked what Governor Strickland had to say. I also want to say I did not get a chance to bring this up yesterday because it was kind of a big news morning, but a lot of people ask about our longtime listener and our longtime friend Sarah, who drives the bus here in Marion. I did see her at Monday night city council meeting, and I think she still listens. I had a little conversation with her. So, Sarah, if you're out there, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. The people miss hearing from you. And the other day, after 2 years, one of our longtime listeners reappeared, and we were very happy about that. Judy, who played many games here, won many prizes over the years on the station, and always added a lot to the program as far as opinion and conversation. So it was good to have Judy back the other day, along with all of our other listeners who are out there, and we always thank them. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Well, does anybody have anything to say in regard to what Governor Strickland said? I thought there was a lot of interesting stuff there. Governor Strickland said he did not want a primary in the Democratic Party, and he did not feel that Tim Ryan was going to run. You know, I think there's a lot to that statement here in Marion. Go ahead, caller. In Ohio, by the way.
Love your city.
Oh, yes. Boy, we had an interesting morning yesterday, did we not?
Oh, I don't even remember.
You forgot it already.
Yeah, that's how memorable it was for me anyway. I just wondered, would you like to be the first to know where people can say they've heard it right here on WWGH?
Okay, go ahead.
I'm announcing my candidacy for governor.
Oh,
okay. I want to be the first governor of Canada.
Well, that would be interesting.
Yes. You know, everybody's saying democracy's being destroyed and everything. Hey, if we're going to take Canada, let's take it soon. I want to be governor, and then, you know, the next administration can do whatever. So,
well, did you get a chance to listen to what Governor Strickland had to say there?
Well, you know, I've listened to some of it. The destruction of this democracy. Everybody's saying Trump's destroying democracy. How so?
Well, I think Governor Strickland gave a lot of examples there. I don't want to speak for him.
I don't think he did. You know, I always love it when politicians start throwing children under the bus. Oh, we have to do it for the children. Oh, I'm a family man. Vote for me. So what? So what? Let's get down to the issues. Don't appeal to emotions to get a vote. Use the facts.
Well, I think
there aren't very many politicians that use the facts. They always, oh, you have to do it for your children.
Well, you know? I don't want to speak for Governor Strickland, but I think what he was saying in that part, if you didn't hear it, he was talking about the loss of possible Medicaid benefits, and I was giving the statistics here in Marion that 33.5% of the county's population receives Medicaid benefits, and of that 33.5%, 3 in 5 are children. That's 62.8%. And I think that's what he was saying in regard to do something for your children?
Well, the fact of the matter is, all of these federal programs, as well as, well, they're federally funded programs administered through the state, right? They all need to be reviewed. They need to be reviewed as often as what we get property real estate taxes reviewed and jacked up more taxes on real estate. They need to be reviewed because there is a lot of fraud.
I think reviewed and stopped are two different things.
Do what?
I think reviewed and stopped are two different things.
Well, I didn't say anything about stopping, but it needs to be reviewed. But then, how do you review it? You know, it's like a freight train. It's getting ready to blow its boilers. You've got to do something. Maybe retard everything and review everything. There are an awful lot of people out there that are getting all kinds of benefits strictly through fraud. We've got to put the stops on this. We've got to turn around and, you know, there are people who really need these benefits to help them become self-sufficient.
Well, but that's not what's happening. Saturday, November the 1st, all SNAP benefits will stop across this country.
Well, I'm talking about what needs to be done to...
Well, I think that's the big issue right now.
Everything needs to be overhauled. We've gone too long. Everything is such a mess. Just like, look at the mess we have with health care. It's turned into the medical industrial complex. Between the doctor and the patient is the insurance companies, what they will and what they won't pay. And the patients are the ones that, it's insult to injury. The patients are the ones that have to pay for this or pay for the premiums that alleviate a little bit of the financial responsibility. It's just one big ugly mess. What is it going to take? Probably the second coming of Christ. I don't know. It's going to take something, a movement to get people to really be accountable for what they're doing and make them do what they promise they're going to do in their political rhetoric running for office.
Well, we certainly know what's going to happen here in Marion. We know that the Auditor of State will be coming in very shortly to look at the city's finances and decide which category we fall into, fiscal caution, fiscal watch, or fiscal emergency. Now, it's my understanding that years ago, we could have been put under fiscal caution. So it's likely we're going to end up in fiscal watch because most people feel we have not went into fiscal emergency yet. But under fiscal watch, you got to put together a plan and give it to the government. And the people putting together that plan would be the people who have been in charge of the money. I believe the auditor would be a part of that. I believe the treasurer would be a part of that. I believe the mayor would be a part of that. And there's a big question, would they be able to put together a plan that would right this ship here in Marion? And people understand how big a deal this is coming to Marion.
Well, the interesting thing is, you mentioned the usual suspects to put this together, but one of those usual suspects is the one that was shooting his mouth off about making a government agency for business development and has had X number of months with the brain trust people that he's supposedly getting his information from to put together a business plan to put forth to city council. And now, in his limited search for funding for such a position, we don't have money. We're in such financial dire straits. And yet, throwing money here, throwing money there, all of this stuff, and it only now comes to the realization, what on earth? Where's the money? You know?
Well, the mayor's letter to the Auditor of State, Attention David Thompson, dated yesterday, October 28th. It's a very short letter, but there is a line in here that people should pay very close attention to. And it's the final line of the first paragraph. It says, as a direct result, several of things going on here with the finances. As a direct result, several funds appear to have deficit balances, which, if accurate, could be determined to be significant. Now, we have a budget director. This is a position that was added under Mayor Collins nearly 2 years ago. Now, when did it become apparent that we had deficit balances in several funds? And what funds are those? Are they?
Exactly. Most particularly, what are those several funds that are in such dire straits right now?
Well, here's the thing I don't understand.
How did it come to be that they're in dire straits?
Yeah, but here's what I don't understand. And I said this to Councilman Schauber yesterday. For 2 years, I've been coming on this show and people have said, oh, you're being too hard on the mayor. By me saying, hey, how are we paying for a $10,000 party? How are we paying for a budget director who makes $80,000? How are we paying for a grant writer who makes $60,000+? How are we going to pay for the economic development director? How are we paying for the expansion of the transit system to run at night? How are we paying for all the rebranding that went on with the stickers and the street signs and all of that? How are we paying for all of that? Because I'm sure that if Mayor Schertzer or Mayor Kellogg could have done these things, they would have liked to have had those positions as well. So how is this mayor finding money to do that? And now we learn that with a budget director on the staff for nearly 2 years, that funds are negative. And why did the budget director not catch that? And why did nobody on the financial committee catch that?
Well, that's a good question. I think our omnipotent, omniscient mayor should address those questions. How has this come to pass? Mr. Mayor, you're the one that campaigned, wanted this job, knew where there was money, would find money to do this, to do that, and now he's got caught with his pants down.
Well, here's the thing, and we cannot blame the mayor totally about this, because City Council did vote yes on a lot of this. The $10,000 for the party, City Council voted yes. The only person who voted against...
They took it in good faith that the mayor knew what the hell he was talking about.
Well, but they did it. They voted for the budget director.
Yes, they did.
They voted for the grant writer. They voted for all of these positions that I'm aware of, except I think the only thing they didn't vote for was a lot of the rebranding, and they did vote for some of that. So I guess I don't understand how funds are negative. I don't get that. And I don't know what funds those are. Are those salaries? Are those enterprise funds that should cannot be negative? I mean, I kept wondering, where's this money coming from? I mean, it's great to have all these things going on. It's great to have an ambitious agenda. But if you don't know what your balance is, and we all have not known what the balance is because we haven't reconciled since 2020, I think. We have not reconciled the books. If you don't know what the bottom line is, why would you continue to spend money?
Exactly. That's why the mayor, as CEO, should know the city's financial position at any moment in time.
Well, you know, people in the media have been...
All the king's men are complicit in this as well.
Well, it's interesting because the comment yesterday on social media from Twyla Lang, who is the head of the Finance Committee, Fourth Ward City Councilperson, her answer to this was, "You realize you are talking about the administration that preceded us. Mayor Collins and this current council inherited this mess. We're trying to fix it." Well,
Pass the buck.
Well, I mean, they've been there
That's
for...
what it is.
Well, they've been there for 2 years, and they voted on all of... Everything I just said was not voted on in a previous administration. It was voted under this administration and this council. And I don't... Now, did these problems start under a previous administration? Yes, they did. But also, what I don't understand when she said the administration that preceded us. Now, is she part of the administration as a city council person?
I think the city council is not of the administration.
I'm just reading what the quote was.
It's like Ayers Ratliff said to the service director with all the new letterhead, this, and that. You work for us, city council. So, yeah. Well, I guess it kind of illustrates where her mind is.
And again, it is what Governor Strickland said, which if you don't like him or like him, we are partisan. That the previous administration was a Democratic administration. This is a Republican administration. That is what this is about. This is about politics. And, you know, if that's what you want, good, I guess. This is what you get.
Well, it's the same old tug of war, and the pendulum will never rest. It'll always be going to the left or to the right.
Well, we'll see what
struggle.
We'll see what other people have to say.
Here's the big thing: are you doing Halloween? Promotional stuff.
Yeah, as far as I know.
So you've been promoting? What time should people come up there to the station?
Well, 8 o'clock. Well, I don't know about that late. I mean, I think Halloween's 5:30 to 7:30.
WGH, the $130 of candy that's going to be given out at WGH is what I'm talking about.
Right. I think we would have to do it during regular Halloween hours because I don't think people will probably have their kids out at 8 o'clock.
Well, you could go a little bit later because of those that are in the neighborhood.
Well, if there are kids, oh yeah, we could stay later.
So what time is it going to start for you guys?
I would say 5:30.
5:30?
I think that, yeah. And, yeah, so, yeah, I'll let you know more.
I didn't think you guys were on the air until 8 till 10.
We're not, but I just don't think that practicality after Halloween, that kids are going to wait a half hour and then come out again.
Well, you could do it at 7:30 so that they could just segue right in.
Well, there's a lot of kids that are going to be in this neighborhood trick-or-treating. I mean, there are a lot of houses over here, 5:30 to 7:30, and I think we'll get that runoff.
Yeah. Well, just wanted to know because I got this candy here and I haven't heard anything and, you know.
No, I appreciate it. I think it'll be good.
So I need to be up there at, 5:30?
Yeah, about 5. I mean, it won't take much to set up.
Well, I got a table and a chair in case, you know. Hopefully the candy will disappear in the first hour.
We hope. We want those kids to go home with good stuff.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds good. To a better tomorrow.
Yes. Thank you. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. So if you want to bring your child or whomever to get some candy on Halloween Friday, 5:30 to 7:30, we'll be here at WGH Radio, thanks to the Industrial Club, passing out candy during the Halloween hours, and hopefully the weather will be good. We don't know yet. But the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Now, I guess the conversation this morning is what former Governor Ted Strickland had to say, and also what went on yesterday, what went on Monday night, with the city of Marion and its finances. That was a big topic of conversation yesterday. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm less congested, so I'm doing better.
Oh, good. On the mend.
On the mend. I thought that was an interesting point that Twyla Lang must have blocked me from Facebook because I can't find this comment. Which, Twyla, honey, if you're listening, you use that Facebook page for official constituent business, to communicate with constituents and to give updates, and you use it in your official city council capacity. So technically, you're not allowed to block me. I'll go ahead and let my attorney know about that. So if you're listening, you might want to unblock me because you use that page for official communication.
That comment, I believe, was on our story on our page.
I looked for her name on Facebook, and she has me blocked.
Yeah.
So someone sent me a screenshot of the pics of the comment that she made. And that's why I was like, well, I can't find it. So I started figuring, okay, I'm blocked. I don't care. I just want her to know the legalities of her blocking me. That's why Thad Smith has a separate page for his council, his council persona, I guess, is lack of a better term. But that is an interesting question. This administration, honey, you ain't the administration. You are, that tells me, we know exactly who she's loyal to, and it is not the people that elected her. It is Bill Collins. And the city is so broke. Okay, I know some people that work at the city, and people just tell me stuff because they know I'll blast it on Facebook. And there's some city workers that are pretty shitty about this. I'll let you know that. But some of them, I didn't even know who they were, and they sent me messages yesterday. Well, there was a renegotiation of the union contract in the spring, and different departments get different clothing allowances based on if you work outdoors, etc. They get X amount of dollars reimbursed to them every year for their clothing. Well, one department, I don't know, there's some departments that got an extra $150 when the contract was negotiated. And then there's some departments that got $200 extra when it was negotiated. And the way it was explained to me is, like, your people that spend more time outside, they get more money because, you know, they need the expensive Carhartts and the boots and all that kind of stuff. So they get a bigger increase, or a bigger allowance, clothing allowance. Well, they have not gotten their clothing, their additional clothing allowance yet. They got their first initial amount at the beginning of the year. The increase that the union negotiated on their behalf back in the spring, they were supposed to have gotten it already so they can start purchasing their fall and winter gear. They've been told for the last three paychecks that this is coming, this is coming. The person that I know sent me a message, they're supposed to be getting another $200. There's somebody else that's supposed to be getting $150, and they're not getting this money. They've been told for 6 weeks that their clothing allowance is coming. Well, what I found out is that the city is trying to negotiate with the union right now to try to get them to only take half their clothing allowance. But the person that I know that's owed $200, the city's trying to get the union to agree to only give them $100. And the person that's supposed to give $150, they're trying to get the union to agree for them to only take $75. So our guys that are out picking up trash and working on the streets and whatever else coming this winter, we're trying to take some of their clothing allowance money. We apparently need that $100 more than they need it for Carhartts, and we're already trying to make those cuts to uniform reimbursements. And what my comment was about Twyla Lang, since she's got me blocked, hopefully she can see my Facebook page, because it says if they want to blame this on the prior administration, why don't you ask to see the $4,750 worth of wall wraps sitting in Mike Bodine's office?
Well, here's,
if we're going to blame this on somebody else. And Bill Collins has a $1,500 wrap in his conference room. I hope the state of Ohio got to stare at it while they were up there having their chit-chat with him.
I want to correct that. It's the Industrial Channel that's doing our Halloween, not the Industrial Club, Industrial Channel. But when I left doing the show yesterday, and I think that person for that correction. The thing that here, now listen, I've always said this. I don't believe the mayor has bad intentions, and I certainly don't think he wanted to do this Monday night. But here's what
I don't think he had a choice but to do it Monday night. It's like Schauber said. The state said, you do this and make it look like you're asking, or we're going to do it, like, and we're going to make it look like you were told.
But here's what I can't figure out. In two questions yesterday, that just because a lot of people were talking about this yesterday.
And
everywhere
we
I went. Yeah, and here's the questions that I kept hearing yesterday. Why... Now listen, it is important to know where this started, but why is everybody so interested in muddying up that water as to where it started? I don't quite understand that. It started...
I think we all just need to be concerned right now with where it's going to end.
Well, that's
because
true.
Because if we're already asking garbage men and street workers to give up $100, what are they going to ask from us?
Well, but
what pain are we going to feel?
Well, but I think the thing is that if we don't know where it started and we don't know why we're where we are, then it's going to be harder to fix in the
long
run.
I'm going to go with the councilman of, 20 years that said it all started when we didn't do reconciliations correctly 5 years ago.
Right.
I'm going to go with him, him knowing what he talked about.
Right. And again, I don't think that auditor purposely did that. It just was where it started. But I don't understand.
Well, I think a lot of it had to do with hubris and, ego and... You know, we need a change. We got it. So.
Yeah, but I think the interesting thing is that the biggest concern in the midst of this is to try to either clear that person or make it believable.
It's placing blame.
Yeah, which I don't understand that because it doesn't. I mean, listen, it's done.
This is very painful things are getting ready to happen, and they don't want to be at fault for them. They don't want to be blamed for them.
Maybe that's it. But the other question...
That's exactly what it is.
Well, maybe the other... And the other question I can't understand. Okay, you want to blame me at last administration? That's politics. I get it. It was a Democratic administration. This is a Republican administration. But it's what I said this morning. Mayor Schertzer was very... Go back and listen to the interview.
He's very credible.
You got it. But he was very aware of the problems.
Mm-hmm.
He called...
That's why Schertzer didn't run again, to be honest with you. I think he knew this was going to happen and didn't want any part of it.
This is what we should all know. And listen, and I'm not faulting Abby because she wasn't here then. She just doesn't know. It'd be a lot to find out. But here's the thing. Mayor Schertzer, and I am not buddies with Mayor Schertzer. I've seen him one time since he was in Marion.
I've seen you guys working out at the Y.
That's
together,
right. We all go down there. But here's the thing. Mayor Schertzer called for Landon's resignation on my show for the first time. He did that. Mayor Schertzer called for Miranda's resignation, I believe. Also, Mayor Schertzer did not approve the council's salary, did not approve the idea that the council, the administration, the mayor, the law director...
Pay raises.
At the end of last year, saying, I cannot in good conscience do this. I'm going to veto it.
Because I know what financial station situation we're in. And it would have been easy for him to say, you guys figure it out, I'll be gone.
Now, that mayor vetoed that. Because he said, I don't think we have the money.
Right.
Now the new mayor...
This mayor added two more positions.
Yeah. And wants to add a third. And had a party. And
spent $65,000. Now, Schauber, when he said his $150 yesterday about Love Your City, I think that's fair. I have some receipts that I was able to pry loose from him early on last year that total about $70,000. And we've done other stuff since then. And I think when you add the labor and everything, I think about $150,000 is right.
But again,
we have $7,000 worth of signs entering our city that say, Love Your City, Welcome to Marion, Bill Collins. Scott Schertzer didn't do that.
No, but I guess my... Because I don't want to say...
We did that while we were going... Hey, all I want to say is I've been saying this was going to happen. I'm probably the one person in Marion that is actually happy about this. Like, my soul is thrilled. I was smiling from ear to ear when Bill Collins was reading this letter. This means their runaway spending freight train is coming to an abrupt halt.
Well,
I've been calling this for well over a year, Scott, and people have been calling me a kook. I don't know what I'm talking about. Collins screamed in my face he knows he has the money because his budget director told him to. That's on October 21st last year. I've got that an actual transcript of it. Him yelling, he knows he has the money for Night Moves bus because he has a budget director, and it's not up to me to question them and everything else. Okay, I've been calling this for a year, y'all.
Well, but
I was acting surprised.
Well, and I got it. You know, you got to give Jason Schauber credit as well. I mean, he's been saying a lot of, yeah. And also, I think that Mr. Ratliff has said several. So here's the thing.
We're the kooks and the odd men out, and
But here's the thing. I think Mr. Rollins has said a few things because he's asked about some things. So
yeah,
we got to be
clear. I'm not even sure I'm going to vote for him anymore. But
here's the thing. And again, I am not saying Bill Collins is a bad person. I think he had an ambitious agenda. What I don't understand is he knew there were financial issues, just like Mayor Schertz.
No, the budget director told him that wasn't true.
Well,
now, ironically, I have an email from Casey Courtright to Jason Schauber that finally came out before she left, and it said that transit was going, because it was about the fare increase, and the fare increase with stuff was going on.
Oh, right.
And remember, Schauber said he asked for that information, but he could never get it.
Yeah.
And then Mark Russell ordered Casey Courtright to give it to Schauber the next morning. It says in there that I'll forward it to you, that transit will end six figures in the red this year.
Well, maybe that's one of the funds.
I'd say it is, and maybe that's when Colin says a significant amount. If he thinks $10,000 for a party isn't significant, I'm going to go with it's going to be seven figures if he thinks it's significant.
Six figures in the red.
Mm-hmm.
For transit.
Mm-hmm.
$100,000.
At least.
But this bus was not going to cost that, right? I mean.
No. Hey, it was a three-month trial run that they were going to report back on and whether or not it was making money. And I actually heard that we're not sure, we haven't checked it out yet, that the fare might even be cheaper than $2. I don't know. If it's $2, I think they should just pay us to ride the thing.
Wasn't it a year ago this month that this came to be?
October 3rd.
Yeah.
Three-month pilot program.
So here we go. Well, I wonder if we'll be given the Christmas. Wonder if we'll do the Christmas lights tour again this year.
Wouldn't that be great for downtown Marion? And oh my God, their gravy train is going to come to an end too, because I bet the state of Ohio won't think funding a downtown organization is essential to the good of the city of Marion. I see a whole lot of gravy trains coming to an end, and I can barely wait.
We shall see what happens.
I just hope. This is what I hope. As I'm sitting here delighting, I want people to know this. I hope that not one job is affected in the city of Marion, and that none of our neighbors and friends are affected by these cuts because we have spent recklessly. I hope the reckless spending does not affect humans, just to these people that suck the government teeth.
And we'll see where we go from here. Thanks for calling.
Take care, Scott.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Here we go. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, that was a very good interview. I agree with almost every point he made, and I just can't tell Terry how much I disagree with him on Trump, how he cannot see that Trump wants to be a dictator and is tearing apart our democracy piece by piece. And I know Terry's very outspoken. You know, how he's coming after all his political enemies. I mean, if Trump or the Republicans ever think that you're knocking them and they come after you, What are you going to do? And it's high time, you know, the people to wake up. The Republicans only run on lowering your taxes. What kind of plan do they have to fix health care? Oh, you come back and vote, you know, we got a plan, you know, and then we'll fix health care then. You know, what the Democrats are doing is standing up for the people. you know, I don't know how you can criticize the Democrats, especially when they're in the majority of the Senate and the House and the President. How you can, anybody could say this is a Democratic fault.
Well, how do you,
Trump has the money to continue these SNAP benefits, but he's not going to release it. And Mike DeWine could release some funds out of the rainy day thing and fix the SNAP benefit thing.
Well, he might be forced to. If Ohio's economy starts to crack and the numbers are correct, and what was the number? Make sure I get it right here. 1.4 million Ohioans receive SNAP benefits. If our economy in the fourth quarter starts to crater and the government, federal government, does not figure this out, I would have to believe the governor is going to have to do something.
Oh, and what people don't realize is those SNAP benefits supports a lot of businesses.
Well, that's the other side of it. People think it's just going to affect the people who are on SNAP.
No.
Listen, I believe people will go and get food, but what bill are they going to neglect? They're certainly not going to go to the restaurants anymore. They may not buy Christmas for their kids. They may not go to the store and buy things at Walmart and shoes and clothing.
Buy some, but they're not going to buy what they was buying.
Well, that's what I'm saying, and that's going to cause the layoff. They're not going to go to tanning beds. They're not going to go to these places, maybe the car payment. I don't know. They're not going to take long trips. You can certainly imagine that's going to affect gas prices. So if this happens, what kind of layoffs are we going to see? Just because you are not on SNAP benefits does not mean you're not going to feel the hurt from this. How in the world can you imagine if you just pulled, and that is literally what's going to happen. On Saturday, we're going to pull 1.4 million Ohioans SNAP benefits, and I don't know what the average money is there, but $263 million each month in federal funding, we're going to pull that $263 million out of the budget? I mean, how is that going to affect the economy?
Right, and you take the health care away from people, that's going to affect the economy too.
I don't know. I just think Saturday is good. I don't think people realize how bad Saturday is going to be, and if it continues, what we're going to look like by December the 1st.
Well, the deficit has went up more on the Republican presidents than it has with the Democrat presidents. Now, they campaign on giving you a tax cut. So you get a $5 or $10 tax cut, and Musk, he gets a few billion dollars. I mean, what happened to President Bush Sr.? Read my lips. No new taxes. But I have to give it to President Bush. I respect him because he realized when he said that he just couldn't do it, that he had to increase the taxes. You know, when everything's going up for us, everything's going up for the government, too. You know, when the city's trying to repair streets and the blacktop prices has went up astronomically, that affects the city, too. This thing with running air, I don't know how long, last 30, 40 years, the Republicans always run on tax cuts. Now, how much tax cuts have you actually got?
Well, if you make a million, billion dollars, I think you get some.
Oh, yeah. But if you're only making $30,000, $40,000 a year, you're not getting much.
Well, we'll see. Where you got any comments on what's going on here in the city after Monday night?
Well, you know, I can't see how some people claim to be so Republican and then down the Republican, it's the Republican council, it's a Republican mayor. You're down on them. I don't know if you got a hard on for them personally, if you know the mayor or what, if that's the reason, but, you know, it don't sound like you're a staunch Republican if you are, but, you know, sure, it may have started in Schurter's administration, but he tried to curtail spending. He tried to curtail, you know, pay raises for people. And people didn't want to listen to him. That, you know, we didn't, it wasn't the time, we didn't have the money to do all that, but, you know, you voted those Republicans in, you're going to have to live with it.
And isn't it the philosophy of the charter city and everybody now, pay people more and better people will come? Do we have the money to pay people more?
Yeah, I'm definitely, you know, against that charter city. I mean, there could be some benefits to us, but I think it could hurt us too much in the long run if, you know, if the committee makes, you know, too many decisions, and we don't have the money right now to pay anybody more. We don't have the money to do the
that
director of commerce or whatever.
Economy, yeah. Well,
they want to pay him $80,000 a year.
Well, this is something interesting from Casey Courtright. She's no longer there, but she was the budget director when this email came out. The fund balance for transit is still negative. The negative balance from calendar year 2022, it was negative $206,549. It grew to $462,126 in 2023, down to $330,797 in 2024. We'll still be projecting negative at the end of 2025. So here we go. You know, the transit program, which I always had thought, and Mayor Schertzer said, always ran negative. Why would you add services to a program that runs hundreds of thousands of dollars negative every year?
Yeah, that night move thing.
Yeah, so there you go.
And if transit gets too expensive or whatever, there's a lot of people depend on that to go to work.
Well, we'll see what happens, I guess. We'll keep talking about it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Later.
All right. Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. We got about 7 minutes left in the broadcast. You know, I remember having big conversations with Mayor Schertzer about transit on the air. And he always said that transit did not make money, that it is here for a public service, and it is not going to make money. That's why I was always a little concerned about adding hours to transit if it's already so in the negative. I mean, I don't know. Go ahead, caller.
Okay, Scott, I got screamed at when I asked about party bus, but we knew at the end of 2024 it was going to be hundreds of thousands of dollars short. But I got yelled at, told that I have a budget director. That's how I know we have enough money for it. And I'll leave it at that and let somebody else call. Those numbers were going on when I was asking, where's this money coming from, and being told that we had the money for it. And so, you see that we don't. That email is from July 17th of this year.
Well, hopefully some of that's picked up by grants.
You see at the bottom of it says we're going to have to find an additional funding source because the general fund cannot absorb this.
But I think the general fund did absorb it prior to
that. That was from this year, yes. But year it cannot is what she was saying.
Well, so, that could be a problem.
There's a couple $100,000 in cuts we need to make.
Here we go. Thank you.
Bye, Scott.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Yeah, transit has always been a discussion, transit and the senior center. Mayor Schertzer, I mean, go back and listen to the interviews. He used to say all the time, these are the programs that we need grants for, that we need money for. That's why we need to keep a good bond rating, because these programs are not money makers. And here we are. Go ahead, caller.
Oh, let's jump on the party bus.
Well, it's going to cost you.
Well, it's going to cost the city so much more. Do you realize the liability that opens the city into? If you get somebody on there and they take them to this bar, that bar, and they're drunk, and then you drop them off wherever their car is, you're in heap big trouble if they have a wreck and kill someone.
We'll see where it goes. Thank you.
Well, hey, it's a legal fact, the dram shop laws. And there's a case, I think it's in Delaware or Worthington, such a situation has occurred, and the woman ended up with $2 million.
Well, I think the train has left the station on this one about a year ago.
Oh, it has. It's left the station, and it's way down the road.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. 4 minutes left in the program. And again, I just want to be very clear that having an ambitious agenda is not a bad thing as a mayor. And a lot of things that have tried to be done, I think a lot of people would say, are good things. I think the problem is people were always asking, where is the money coming from? And maybe we found out yesterday where the money certainly is not coming from, and it may be some funds in the city. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. We got a few minutes left here in the broadcast today before we wrap up, and I certainly thank all the caller participation that we have had, but it was a big story yesterday that Marion is at our mayor on Monday said he's asking the auditor of the state to come in and take a look at our finances because we've got some trouble here and find out if we're going to be on financial fiscal caution, fiscal watch, or fiscal emergency. So a lot of stuff there. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. Just something that popped in my head. You guys were talking about the Love Your City stuff, and I'm all about, you know, sprucing up the city and making it better. I grew up on Orchard Street, and I come up Orchard Street often, and I just happened to notice that on the back of the Marion Naz Church, there's a huge Love Your City sign. And just something that popped in my head is I thought they said in the meeting, or one of the meetings, that Marion had trademarked Love Your City. So I just kind of wonder how that works. How does a church have a trademarked sign on the back of their building and you know, the whole separation of church and state and all those things? And, you know, it's just something that kind of popped into my head. Is there a conflict of interest, or, you know, can the average citizen or business, you know, purchase these signs or wraps or whatever and...
It's
you know,
a good.
Join the club or,
it's a
know,
good just, question.
How does that work? Anybody know that? Or?
Well, it's a good question, and I guess my question to you, with a couple minutes left in our broadcast today, how do you feel about this letter? I mean, I obviously you're a Marion resident. Sounds like a lifelong Marion resident. Grew up here. Again, nothing wrong with having an ambitious portfolio and having ambitious ideas, but Mayor Collins certainly knew that we were having financial trouble. When this letter comes out, what's it make you think?
It is concerning. I mean, you've got all of this going on with the Robert Landon situation and the auditors prior to that and where we're at now. It comes across to me as just not a strong leadership move. I mean, if you know you're in arrears, if you know that, you know, on any given day, I guess your bank accounts may or may not have a zero balance or a negative balance, I think you got to get your house in order before you move on, you know.
Got a quick answer for you here. One of our listeners out there this morning has said Mayor Collins goes to the Marion Naz, so maybe that's part of the reason. For your question, or maybe part of the answer.
Okay, but again, I mean, I'm not trying to come out. I mean, if it's a legal thing, if it's something they're, you know, permitted to do, that's great. No, more power to you. I just wonder. Those are just questions that people that live in the city or come from the city or grew up in the city have. You know, maybe he does go there. Maybe he doesn't. But there's still, I mean. If President Trump goes to a church, can he then put a banner on the back of that church? Or, you know, if in city government, it's supposed to be for all the constituents. It's for all the people.
Yep. Not just the few.
You're right. Hey, they're good questions. Hey, thanks for calling.
Hey, have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. Well, we're down to the final few here. We got a few minutes, 740-383-9944. Sean Kraft has joined us here in studio for the tail end of the program. Well, Sean, a lot of news. SNAP benefits, as we think, are coming to an end on Saturday. And by the way, Governor Strickland was on this morning. That's $263 million in Ohio's budget. What do you think is going to happen to Ohio if that truly does happen on Saturday?
You know, I think it's ridiculous how our government and everything are running things these days. But I think I like your question that you asked Governor Strickland.
Yep.
You said, what about the rainy day fund? Why can't our government dip it in a rainy day fund?
Well, Mike DeWine has said about the rainy day fund. Let me get the comment here. Governor Mike DeWine has said the plan is not realistic because Ohio can't access federal benefit accounts even if it wanted to. So Governor DeWine is saying, even if I could use the rainy day fund for this, I can't get SNAP as a federal program. I can't get into those accounts. Hmm.
Well, they're going to have to do something. I don't know what they could do, but
263. Can you imagine? Again, not just people on SNAP benefits. Can you imagine if you took $263 million a month out of Ohio's budget? You think that's not going to crash the economy?
It sure will.
And the other question, Marion apparently having financial problems. Mayor Collins on Monday night sends a letter to the state auditor saying some of our funds might be negative, some of our accounts might be negative, and look at our books because we can't figure them out. And the end result could be the state taking over city government and trying to put us back on track.
Really?
So my question this morning there was, why a $10,000 party? Why three new positions making $80,000 a year, one making $65,000? Why expanding the bus program if you didn't know if you had the money or not?
Right. Huh. So nobody knows where the money went.
It might never have been there because the books haven't been balanced since 2020.
Oh, my goodness. That's crazy.
So here we are.
We are a mess.
We are a mess. And we'll see where it all goes. But I'll be back tomorrow. And we thank Sean for stopping by. And everybody who called in this morning, keep on calling. We love talking to the people. And thank Governor Strickland for joining us in hour number one. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
And a great teacher to me.
Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.